Welcome to Becoming Heisenberg. It's Entertainment Talk's podcast for Breaking Bad on AMC and Netflix. I'm your host, Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is David. How's it going?
I'm doing all right, thanks.
Good, good. So for season 4, episode 4, cool bullet points. What do you think of this episode?
I rather enjoyed this episode. It's got like a nice, fun, you know, not entirely cold open, but you know, you've got that sort of weird sort of what's Mike doing dressed like that in the back of a truck sort of opening, which is quite nice. If it was a proper cold opening, it would just have been a shot of that, and then you wouldn't come back to it until later in the episode. but yeah, it's I like that sort of little opening sequence. I think that was really good. The Walt and Skyler stuff I thought was great as well, with them sort of figuring out and Skyler's really overthinking everything. I thought that was really good. So there was some fun little moments, and we get the evolution of what's happening with the notebook thing with Gail, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, there's a lot of really nice little things in this episode, I think.
Yeah, definitely. It begins to pay off the sort of progress of the last two episodes as well, because you've got particular movement with obviously Hank, and certainly with Jesse as well. Whether Jesse wants to move forward is a different question, but
yes,
yeah, the movement with Hank, which is obviously going to be quite a big piece as well. So I liked all those. It's interesting as well, because we only got a small scene with Gus, but again, Giancarlo just really stands out, doesn't he? Which was great. It's got a very interesting opening to the episode. But yeah, the whole family thing was very, very interesting. I remembered certain parts of it, because I remember that there's certain distinct moments or scenes that do stand out in your mind when you go through a rewatch or whatever. And the "you got me" moment, the sort of fake "you've got me" moment, I thought that was a little bit later, but as it was lining itself up, because you know when you can tell like, oh, is this going to be a moment or something, I was like, oh, it is this moment. But we are in season 4, so
yeah,
you know, we are deeper into the show maybe than I actually realized. But that was one of the moments that I remember, the sort of fake out kind of "you got me" bit. I thought that was great, and there's just sort of the tension there. It's also just again with the show, when you've got such brilliant writing and then such brilliant actors that can just pull it off, it really just combines into something really excellent, really, really excellent. But that's what Breaking Bad is. And it's interesting, even with the sort of like, oh, this episode is a bit slower, it always gives you payoffs, Breaking Bad, and it does that from the beginning right through to the, you know, final scene of the show where it wraps itself up. So that was really great. But it's interesting when you like, when I remember certain moments and think like, is this the bit when it happens, and you're sort of just like waiting for that landing moment. So I thought that was really, really good. I didn't remember about the DVD. I remembered about the notebook. The notebook's obviously, you know, the
yes,
whole WW thing is almost one of the iconic scenes. But I didn't remember the DVD, because I was like, you can have a bit of an idea of what Hank might be putting in there, but I couldn't remember. And then as soon as it was Gail and you see Walt's reaction, like, ah, okay, see where that's going with that. I did kind of like the little note of how he goes, like, oh, this isn't a dead body or anything, is it? You know, because obviously of what Hank's involved in at the DEA. And it's very different to that. So, yeah, like I said, my main key point from it is it gives you a nice, not payoff necessarily, but a nice big chunk of progress from the two plot lines that have been building in the last two episodes. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. All right, another full week of content this week. Our main sort of 4 series, which is Gaming Talk, Gen V, Breaking Bad, and of course the United cast. Going to Gen V from yesterday, because of course the episodes come out on Wednesdays. We're up to Season 2, Episode 5. We've only got 3 episodes left. And yes, the show did start a couple of weeks ago, but we started with a triple, and we only have 8. So things about 6 weeks in total or something, isn't it? So I was trying to remember on the podcast, has that been renewed for Season 3 yet? I feel like it has, and I maybe forgot, but I don't remember anything official on that.
I can't remember. I'd need to go check.
We know the boys have got a 5th and final season, and they've also got that prequel show on the way.
I think it has, but...
Yeah, but we'll look into that later. But yeah, so it's up to Season 2, Episode 5 so far. So we've got 6, 7, and 8 left to go. So that's for Gen V over there. Speaking of Gaming Talk, this week we talked about Sony's State of Play from last week. They re-revealed and very fully revealed Wolverine again, which is obviously the new Marvel game from Insomniac. Those are the same people that made the Spider-Man game, so, you know, natural movement to Wolverine. So we talked about that, and of course covered Sony's State of Play in its pretty much entirety. I talked about both Baby Steps and Metal Gear Solid Delta, and Robert talked about Hollow Knight's Silksong, which he's playing. We talked about Lord of the Rings as well. There's some rumour mill stuff about Lord of the Rings possibly getting a Hogwarts Legacy-esque sort of game, which I think would make sense for that type of world, so we talked about that. And there's money floating around again involving Saudi Arabia. They are looking to privately acquire EA. Saudi Arabia is looking to do that as a company within that or something for $55 billion. So we talked about all of that as well. Some big money floating around there. Over on the United cast, the question was posed. We've beaten Chelsea by 2-1. Can Ruben Amorim get his first back-to-back wins as a Manchester United manager? And the answer was an emphatic no, because we lost 3-1 to Brentford. They scored within the first 8 minutes, and you could already tell things were falling apart. He is, at least of today, he will probably be still employed by Saturday, because probably won't get rid of him on like a Friday or something. He is currently still employed by Manchester United Football Club. People are getting more and more confused as to why. We've got Sunderland at the weekend, and then there's an international break, and then we've got Liverpool. So we're still looking for those first back-to-back wins, but this was not the one. So the count starts again, but it was 3-1 to Brentford, and they played very, very well. And yeah, Sunderland is up next. We'll see how that one goes. Speaking of Baby Steps, I did a hard skip rating review. It's a brand new game that's come out. I played a portion of it, watched some of it, and then gave like an overall rating review for that. So that's my, it does have a spoiler section in it as well, but my also spoiler free review for Baby Steps, which I gave a hard skip rating to. Of course, there's Breaking Bad podcast from last week, Gen V podcast, Gaming Talk podcasts, all kinds of other stuff. And that's what we've been doing recently on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. All right, on to the recap of Season 4, Episode 4, Bullet Points, which we kind of open up with. Mike is riding in the cargo compartment of Los Pollos Hermanos, a refrigerator truck, when it is forced off a rural road by a pair of hijackers. You don't quite see any of this, but you see the aftermath of it. Mike listens as the gunmen kill the driver. then takes cover as they shoot the cargo compartment from like pretty much all sides, really. When the gunmen open the cargo doors, Mike just pew pew, a couple of bullets, and they're dead. It's quite funny when that kind of thing happens. After he steps out of the truck, he finds that a bullet has grazed his right ear. He's not entirely bothered about it. I mean, yes, a few more inches and it could have gone somewhere worse, but he kind of just walks away from it. I always find it kind of a little bit funny. I don't know if it's supposed to be comedic, but you know when there's, and this can be applied to a lot of different, you know, TV, games, films, whatever, when one or more gunmen have, like, let's say an assault rifle, because you can't really do the same thing with a pistol, and they shoot the hell out of something. It could be a door, it could be a truck, it could be a car or whatever, and someone pops out either from that door or car or whatever it is, and then just like puts a couple of bullets in them and like, hey, you just shot out like your whole magazine. And whoever it is, in this case it's Mike, just pops up. I think he shoots like four shots, maybe two shots or something, like it's like a couple of shots and just down. And although they did hit him slightly, it's sort of, yeah, you've tried to spray the hell out of this thing with bullets, you've not really hit anything of note, and just sort of pop out. I just find that thing kind of interesting. We didn't specifically, yeah, because when Mike goes to visit Gus later, it's about Jesse, isn't it, and the whole house situation and all that kind of stuff. I don't remember specifically where this goes, but it was still an interesting kind of cold open, an interesting sort of open to the episode. It wasn't one that I remembered, sort of, you know, there's like weird smaller details you remember about a show. I don't remember like him getting his ear grazed at all. I think I remembered maybe him sitting somewhere with like a load of winter gear on, but I didn't quite remember that it was this. So I like the the editing and the sound design and stuff of, because the moment you press play, because there's no like, you know, Netflix ta-dum thing, or there's nothing like that, the episode just starts and you get like this breathing and you can see like his breath in the darkness, and it's this interesting opening of sort of, you don't know who you're looking at, you don't know what you're looking at, you don't know why there's heavy breathing going on, and there's this interesting kind of dark panning to what's going on. I quite like that for the sort of editing for the opening of the episode. But yeah, it was interesting to see this happen. I just can't remember exactly where it goes, but it's a incident for Los Pollos, Gus and Mike to deal with, I suppose. Anyway, what do you think of the opening here?
I really like this. As I say, it's not exactly a cold... well, it's technically a cold open because he's sat in the back of a refrigerated truck. But but anyway, yes. It is sort of, as I said, you could have split that as a sort of weird kind of wise Mike sat in cold gear in the back of a truck thing, and then split this scene and put it in somewhere later and done it that way. But I think this works, and I love Mike's reaction to finding out. I mean, you say grazed his ear, it basically took the top of his ear off. And I rather like his reaction to that of just being annoyed by it rather than being in pain or panicking or anything like that. He's just sort of, you know,
yeah, he's not really that type of person, is he? So
yeah, no, it's a very Mike reaction to it. So yeah, the whole sequence is just really, really well done. So yeah, I like this as an opening, definitely.
Certainly. And then there's a few little bits to this, but I'll just read what I've got. During a family dinner at Hank and Marie's place, Walter and Skylar tell everyone a story about Walter having a successful card counting method to explain how they can pay for Hank's medical bills and purchase the car wash. Before this happens, though, as you said, with the whole Skylar overthinking part, she's got like a full script going on. There's lots of bits of Walt sort of like sighing and shrugging and like eye rolling at different parts. This was one that I remembered some of. I remember there was a couple of different scenes, because of course through different points through Breaking Bad, Walt has to lie to people about stuff, and it I would say it becomes second nature, but there's still, I guess, some difficulty here with this. But it's more just about It's interesting here because, again, we talk about kind of the male ego thing with this show, which is like kind of a big part of it. And then you have Skylar, who's the one coming up with this idea. And I again, quite like, what do you call it? I quite like this sort of, she's overthought it, and he sort of, like, he obviously wants it to go well, and obviously when these sorts of things do come up in Breaking Bad, like, you know, getting on the same page about a story is very, very finicky and kind of specific and stuff, but I wonder if it was in this case for Walt a case of, okay, you're not telling this story to Gus, somebody who will pick at every detail. You're telling Marie and Hank, and you've got, I guess, less danger of sort of the story being picked at and pulled apart and things like that. Which is interesting, I guess, because he has just had to come away from an incident with Gus where he hasn't really had to explain anything per se, but in terms of him trying to get away from a situation. Whereas you flip it over here, and Skylar's the one that's got the script. She cares about the fine details and like, hey, do you remember this? Do you remember that? And then it's sort of, I can't remember who says what to who. I think they both kind of say it to each other about like, when you go to brush your hair, is it going to be the right hand? And all these kind of things. So I did quite like it. And I like the scene it ultimately sort of leads up to, which was quite good. This was one, again, I kind of, unless I'm remembering a different earlier revelation type scene, because there are a couple of different ones. I think there's at least maybe two or three where Walt and Skylar are explaining something to Hank and Marie, because yeah, there must have been one in season one about the cancer or something like that as well. And then of course there was the whole thing about setting up payments, and you know, there's the Gretchen and Elliot thing and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, overall I really like both these scenes. We see where it leads to with the whole Gale stuff here in a bit, but I do quite like, because with Anna Gunn both here and with the what was the car wash person called, Bogdan, where she's got there with like different details, and then there's the other one as well in the car where she's got scripts and things like that to sell the guy on the water contamination stuff. And I don't always quite remember her being really particularly with those things, but there's a couple of times clearly where she has, and I've quite liked all of them, and sort of the way she handles those scenes I think is quite good. But yeah, initially, what do you think of Walt and Skylar, this whole script and all that kind of stuff?
Well, yeah, I love this scene, just with the pair of them, and you know, Walt's like, it doesn't need to be this complicated. Basically, you can see it going through his head, and she's just trying to nail down every single possibility so she doesn't get like tripped up at all. And you know, even to sort of saying you could look this way or you could look at your feet or whatever, you know, and all this sort of stuff. It's like, this is too much. You don't need to be doing all this, you know. There's an easier, you don't need to be quite this prepared, but she's obviously, you know, with what they're dealing with, she's being incredibly cautious, and it's just very funny, the whole sort of back and forth with how she's preparing with this. And then you don't really see, you know, they don't go over it, they don't labor that point when you get to the scene actually at the table. You're sort of cut to after they've actually been through all of it. So I thought that's an interesting way to do it. They haven't sort of, you know, they've showed a prepping for it, but you don't actually see how that scene goes as such, because they cut to it sort of straight afterwards, which is quite interesting, because other shows would have kind of had them, you know, glancing at each other, or, you know, you would have seen
Someone
that scene
have a
play
whole episode
out
for that.
Yeah, no, totally, and made it such a big thing. So I thought, you know, again, it comes back to interesting creative choices with, you know, how they shoot Breaking Bad, and I think that's one of the things that makes it sort of work, because it's not like you needed to see that. You just needed to see the aftermath of it, which is, you know, it clearly it went okay and they managed to get it across. So maybe the prep work was worthwhile, even though it seemed ridiculous and over the top. So I don't know, but I like the fact that they showed the sort of you know, the prep work rather than her just sort of going in and then kind of doing that scene at the house. So
Yeah.
I think it's a far more interesting way of doing it with Walt's sort of frustration at it. So yeah,
Yeah.
it's good. I do like that scene, and then, you know, we get to we get to the sort of scene actually at the house, and that's kind of breezes through fairly quickly.
Yeah. But it'd be interesting if, like, let's say the situation was exactly the same, but he was explaining this to Gus, how different Walt would have been with, like, fine details, and because he knows Gus would pay, you know, very, very strong attention to that. We know what Gus is like with details, but
Yeah. It's not like Hank and Marie or even Walt Jr. are going to ask huge amounts of
and
questions.
berate him and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because at the end of the day, it's paying for Hank. Walt's happy because he might get a car out of it. You know, Walt Jr.'s happy because he might get a car out of it. So, you know, I
Yeah.
mean, there's that sort of all that kind of going on, and it's not like they're going to question it too much because it seems like a believable story of that's where he got the money from. So, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, very, very good. But yeah, they explain all of that, and then as I say, Gus, no, Hank, tells Walt that he wants to show him something. So it says here, under the guise of using the bathroom, this is actually after the event happens, but we'll cover it here. Walt enters Hank's bedroom and finds the case file on Gail's murder. Pursuing quickly, he finds photos of Gail's body as well as a photocopy of Gail's notebook. Hank later tells Walt he's investigating Gail's murder and believes he was Heisenberg. When asked by Hank to read from Gail's notebook, Walt notices a line from a Walt Whitman poem and a dedication to WW. When Hank mentions the initials matching Walt's, Walt jokingly admits, "You got me," before telling Hank that WW refers to the poet. So a good bit of diversion there from Walt. Just to rewind this a tad, and then we'll go back to it. I thought the scene in the actual bedroom itself, when they, you know, when they bring Walt Jr. with them, and the terrifying. Again, it's interesting to analyze Walter in this way, because it's sort of like, you know, where does the Heisenberg come out? Where is the Walt? And then, you know, the flip between them and all that sort of stuff. And pulls out the thing. The case file and all that, and then gives him this DVD. And of course, if you are, you know, first time watching this, or you're rewatching and you don't remember, sort of like, okay, what is? I think it's for me, it was a case of what's on this DVD, because I don't remember. I didn't remember that there was a DVD at play. Whereas the notebook is the thing, I think, for the audience, whether it's first time or rewatch, that you're like, oh, is he going to pull that out and start reading it? And that's got like loads of information in it, actually, this particular notebook. But because I don't think at this point, with like Gail and Walt and Jesse and Gus, I don't think a DVD had been mentioned, and I don't remember either with Hank and his work friend that came along mentioning a DVD either. So it was an interesting bit, even from the rewatch standpoint here, of sort of because I didn't remember that that was at play, and again, Breaking Bad, fine details and all that sort of thing. I was like, okay, what's going to be? You almost wonder, and obviously this is part of Walt's panic probably, is like, is it going to be some DVD of me or something? You know, or like Gus is going to be on there, or something deeper to do with the drug business, which might like reveal a thing or two much. But no, it was an interesting kind of funny twist, because no, it was just this funny, silly music video with Gail, which I did not remember at all. So that was even from a rewatch standpoint, that was an interesting kind of twist. Just staying on the DVD for a second, what did you think of that when that came up, and did you sort of remember where that was going?
I vaguely remember that happening the first time around. I when they initially picked up the DVD, I couldn't remember whether it was maybe some security footage or something that they
Right.
caught him on. But then why would Gail have that in his possession? So yeah, I then when it was the karaoke thing, I was like, oh yes, I do remember that happened. But Yeah, this again is a great scene of sort of Walt kind of having to use his knowledge to sort of dodge and weave a bit to, you know, not sort of influence Hank too much whilst also trying to influence Hank's sort of thinking. I mean, Hank seems pretty clear that he thinks Gail is Eisenberg, and you know, he does get some information out of it, because at the end of this conversation he reveals that they found a fingerprint, which is what sends him running off to Jesse afterwards. But the whole sort of you got me thing, and him explaining away what WW is in that as well, at this point he's sort of being part of this Walt Whitman poem, which is, you know, just happens to be in there as well, which is quite lucky. So yeah, the notebook itself, which is fun because it's like got cookie recipes and all sorts of things in there. You know, so yeah, it's a really interesting sort of scene into the mind of Gail, which is sort of written out in this notebook, and also Walt kind of sweating a little bit. And there's also the slight sort of, you get this feeling from Walt that he's slightly annoyed at the fact that they think that Gail is Eisenberg as well. You get this hint that it's slightly there that, you know, although Walt doesn't want to be caught, he's also slightly annoyed that somebody else is basically taking credit for his work. So, you know, I think there's a little bit of that going on as well. But yeah, it's a really interesting, intricate scene with lots of things going on. So I do really love that scene.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting details with both of them. But I suppose the other thing, though, if it was some sort of crazy video of like Gus doing something or Walt being there, because Hank already clearly knows what's on this, because like, hey, check this out, it's, you know, funny or whatever, he wouldn't have obviously done that. But there's still, yeah, there's that moment as well, like Gail comes up on the screen and there's obviously a million thoughts running through Walt's head. And it was an interesting angle that they did things from as well, because he's pulling this look, right? But he's the furthest one sat forward, so like they can't see that. And then, Walt Jr. and Hank are kind of laughing about that and stuff, while Walt is sort of silently sort of panicking about it, but they can't see him. So I liked the sort of staging work on that as well. I thought that was pretty good. But no, I distinctly remember the you got me moment. I thought that was really, really great. So but the thing is as well, because even though Walt's got perfectly good reasons to panic about all of this, because he doesn't want his brother having obviously any of this information, especially this notebook, is even if, like, let's say Walt had had an anxious sort of panicked moment where it was kind of, oh, no, it's not me, I'm not, you know, Hank wouldn't have been bothered by that. Because I don't think that was Hank poking him of like, oh, I actually think it's you, let me try and get something out of you. He's just trying to be his jokey self, which is great because, you know, last two episodes has been moping and stuff. So, yeah. I also like the other tiny little note in this scene as well. Like, he's showing the minerals and, like, clearly, apart from the finer details, which Hank gets a bit bored of, it's like, there's this overall feeling of, like, cool, yep, it looks really good, all right, which I thought was really good as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no shame to anybody that does collect, you know, minerals or anything like that. If that's something that you want to do, then you know, crack on with it. But it's like every, because obviously Hank is still doing the whole, they're not rocks, they're minerals, and he's very particular about it. But it's like everybody else in his life is like, cool, yeah, that's great, collecting those, it's a nice hobby for you. So it's got an interesting part to it. So it was all really good parts. Yeah, it tells him he's got him, and then it refers to the poet. I like that little, is it, like you said, it's a bit of luck that's actually there in terms of that poem, and he can go, oh no, it means this as well. So that was very good. Moving over to Jesse, Walt is disgusted by the condition of Jesse's home. I mean, I am as well. So, which is now being used as a crack house. Jesse admits he did not pick up the shell casting when he shot Gale, then there was just one bullet, but still, which could connect him to the shooting. Walt later laments to Saul Goodman that the meth business is falling apart because nobody is acting professionally, and rejects an offer of going into hiding. I don't think this is the first time the disappearer.
I thought it was. Is but it? Maybe it's been mentioned. No, I think this is possibly the first time. It's difficult because having watched the whole of this once, and also watched because this character that he's mentioned here does become a thing in Better Call Saul as well. So
yes,
yeah, I think this is possibly the first mention of. That you know, that there is somebody that can completely disappear you. I think it's the first mention of that. I don't remember it popping up earlier, so
yeah, because I remember it definitely coming up more than once, but I don't remember if this is the first time.
I think this is the first time, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. It was interesting Walt's reaction to that, because you can tell a little bit that he's maybe considering it, but I think the way Saul drives the point home of, like, this is permanent, you ain't, like...
Yeah.
Reminded me a little bit of, in certain games where you can upgrade stuff and that, and you get to, like, the last boss, and it's like, hey, this is the point of no return kind of thing, where it's like, hey, make sure you do all your side quests and things like that. Kind of made me think of that kind of thing. But no, it's a very, I don't want to talk too much about it particularly, because obviously, spoiler stuff, but, yeah, it's an interesting concept or idea to have in a sort of world and a show like this as well, where people are committing crimes and they need to disappear and things like that. So, what else is in this scene? Yeah, with the Walt talking to Jesse, again, I think we both kind of said, like, we couldn't remember exactly which way this progressed or where Jesse went specifically after. Turned out it was technically more than one character, I guess, that's pulled them out of the situation, because there's a few people involved. But it's interesting to see, and again, it's been explained, the whole thing about him shooting Gale, and obviously that was, you know, traumatic for him, and he's sort of just lost his mind a little bit. But to see throughout pretty much this whole thing, Jesse's just attitudes towards everything. But it was interesting as well when you've... Because it's more so when... And we'll talk about it in a minute. When Mike comes around, he's like, yeah, cool, bag of money. And he's not really bothered. But then you can tell with Walt, or maybe it's Heisenberg in this scene, where he sort of... He's drilling into him a little bit. And there's almost this tiny little camera zoom as well. Like when he, you know, when he pulls him to the side and he's trying to, I mean, he's trying not to get anybody else to listen, even though everybody's eyes are kite, but still, I understand why. But he sort of pulls him to the side and he's like, was it one or was it two shots? And you can tell Jesse, finally for the first time in about two episodes, is actually listening to somebody. And there's this tiny little zoom on Jesse's face, which I thought was quite good. It sort of makes it a bit more intense when it sort of switches between the two of them. I thought it was just because he says, you know, was it one shot, was it two, and he's testing him on the information, which I guess is a big thing for this episode. I thought it was just one, but even myself, even though I don't need to worry about it myself, it was kind of like, okay, was it one or was it two? I think it was just one. But no, that was great as well, and then of course this progresses later. So yeah, what do you think of these scenes?
Yeah, I really like these scenes. Him sort of going in and the sort of attitude of Jesse, when he gets there is just sort of, you can tell, and this becomes more apparent later on, that Jesse just doesn't really care about anything, you know, at this point. Mm. And he's just completely zoned out. Whereas, you know, and then the stuff with Walt going to Saul later of kind of, you know, nobody's being professional and you know, this is supposed to be a business and all this sort of stuff. You're like, yeah, but you're dealing drugs, man. I mean, you know, and Walt's sort of, yeah, he's just sort of not kind of rolling with it. It's the same way that everybody, you know the sort of people that you're dealing with. You're dealing with serious drug dealers. It shouldn't come as a shock that one of them, like, pulled out, took a knife and killed somebody in front of you. I mean, that sort of stuff. Yeah, it sort of comes with the territory. So, yeah. I thought the whole, that's not, it's all falling apart. They're not acting professionally, I thought was very funny. And yeah, the introduction of kind of the disappearer guy, the sort of mention of him, is interesting. And like you say, I think, I think part of it is, well, at least knows now that there is, if everything goes horrifically wrong, there is a potential out, even if it's a last resort, so it has sort of placed that in his mind, which is a sort of interesting point to make as well.
Yeah, you can see some consideration there, I think, as well.
Yeah,
Which
so
I suppose if you said that to anybody who's in trouble, there would be, considerations for that. So,
yeah.
cool. Speaking of Jesse, Jesse's complacency leads to all his meth money being stolen, though he appears completely unbothered by this happening. Mike quickly recovers it. We don't really see how, but you can guess how. Mike recovers it and later tells Gus Fring that Jesse's lack of professionalism is a problem for the organization. Jesse does not appear at the lab the next day, and Walt realizes he has been, potentially kidnapped or taken. Mike drives Jesse to an unknown destination. When he asks Jesse if he would like to know where they are going, Jesse simply replies, "Nope." He's just still kind of a bit unbothered. I liked that we did get both Walt going there and trying and all that sort of thing, and then we got Mike doing the same thing as well. It did get kind of sad in a way of, and granted, that bag wasn't the best hidden, was it? It was in like a drawer, one of like the main drawers of his bedroom. I thought it was maybe actually that woman who might have done it, because he gets out of the bed, she's still laying there, and then like she's just the last person you see in that room.
Well, yeah, but
So
you, when he goes to get the money for the pizza, and you can kind of see the guy that's on the sofa next to the guy that he gives the money to the pizza for, kind of realizing he's not as out of it as the others are,
oh,
and
okay.
sort of realizes, I think you can see him going, wait, there must be money around here somewhere, so yeah, they was, because he was there, and so yeah, it's not completely out of the blue. I kind of clocked that. I sort of remember that happening, so.
Yeah. I also wondered as well, in terms of, because like, okay, obviously Jesse's got more money in other places, but there was clearly a lot in there, and I thought, okay, if you're, I mean, he's unbothered anyway, because that's the state of mind we've been told that Jesse's in. But he gets that bag stolen, sees it's gone, doesn't really do anything about it. In fact, I think he sits down and plays Sonic on an Xbox
Yes.
360 after that, which I noticed the controllers for. I like seeing what controllers characters are holding to see what consoles are on. Sometimes it is just like random controllers that they're given, so I like
Yeah,
looking at those little details.
I've got some trivia for that for you as well. I found
Okay.
some of the notes. So it's Sonic and Sega All-Star Racing on an Xbox 360. But in actual fact, that game was released in February 2010, 18 months before the episode had aired, but it had not been released in 2019 when the episode takes place. So they technically shouldn't have been able to play that game. But coincidentally, the French voice actor for Jesse is a guy called Alexander Gillett, is also the French voice actor for Sonic the Hedgehog in numerous media as
Oh,
well.
cool.
Which is truly odd, but there
I
you
did not
go.
know that. There we go.
No, neither did I. But yes,
Nice.
that was random facts for you.
Nice. That's pretty cool. Again, I like it when sort of our real world stuff pops up in media and all that kind of
Yeah.
thing. But yeah, he sits down on the bed to play that. He's completely sort of unbothered. And at that point, I was like, okay, that's probably one of many bags. But I was like, okay, how much does he have left after that?
Well, I think that's the thing. I mean, they're making such a ridiculous amount of money that the fact that he's got a bag of money in a drawer, he's like, it doesn't matter because I'm going to make more of this, right, you know, anyway. So I think he doesn't really, he's, you know, he just, all he really wants is somewhere to sleep, a big sound system, and to get high. So he's checked out of everything else. So I think that is his state of mind at the moment. He doesn't really care what happens to him. He doesn't really care what happens to his money. He just doesn't care. And so he's like, yeah, so fine, whatever. I mean, you saw over the last couple of episodes how much he's just throwing the money around and, you know, just for fun, really. And not to be sort of big, he doesn't care about the money at all. It's just, this is the situation he's found himself in. So, you know, he's got to roll with it because he can't get out of it. So, you know.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, so that all happens, and then we should probably talk separately about, so Mike comes along, does all of that. Walt does go along at one point and manages to get in through a window and that, and notices that he's gone, and notices the, so I think it's the phone he was trying to ring has been left behind. Yes. So there's like no contact for him or whatever. But we see Jesse in the car with Mike, and they're going off somewhere, and we don't quite know where. So I have to see where that goes. Any thoughts on the little final scene here?
Yeah, no. I mean, other than it just reinforces the fact that Jesse really doesn't care whether he lives or dies. He's, you know, because with that final driving off scene, you'd be like, you know, a lot of people would be terrified. You know, of what's going to happen to them, and he just doesn't care, really doesn't care. He's completely checked out of everything at this point. So,
Yep, we shall see where that goes. All right, it's the end of the episode. Let's move into some feedback, some emails. We have two this week. Of course, if you'd like to write into the show, let us know if it's your first time through the show, rewatch number 1 or 10 or whatever number. Let us know if you've seen Better Call Saul as well, or any of the other Breaking Bad bits and pieces. Let us know what you've seen and what you think of them. And your thoughts on, obviously, the episodes as we go through. And any predictions you might have and any of that kind of stuff. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, Twitter, social media, eTalk UK, or Entertainment Talk. And there's information in your show notes. Josh writes in first. Well, not technically first, whatever. Josh says, I now predict that Jesse won't die. Interesting. But I have no idea where he is going next. Says, any hints? Well, he's going somewhere in a car right now. We know that.
Yes.
So we will see where that ends up. But getting interesting kind of with... I know we talked about it a little bit, but sort of he was originally going to die at the end of season one. And that changed things around. So, which is great. Even in a world where that, let's say that did happen and we didn't know any different, it's weird to think of him not being in the show after season one. So,
yeah, I mean, it became the middle seasons, you know, from the introduction of Jesse onwards, and until we get very much towards the end of it, it does seem to be, you know, I mean, you can see why they kept him around.
Oh yeah.
As to how long he stays around, I mean, you know, not wishing to spoil it for anybody, but you know, you can see why why they kept him on, because I mean, his performance was so good and they make a good partnership. And it's interesting to see the alternate reality version of this is, okay, had they killed him at season one, what is the sort of anchor that they would have used for Walt pushing back? Because, you know, a lot of this has been about protecting Jesse, you know, like the scene where Gus kills the other guy, you know, there's sort of various points where it becomes about projecting Jesse, and you do sort of wonder how would that have played out had Jesse not been there, you know. And also the thing, you know, it ends up with Jesse killing Gale, and you're like, okay, would they have sent Walt to do that? Would they have introduced another character at some point that ends up being the partner? You know, would Gale have been that right? I mean, I'd be really interested to talk to him about, okay, had you killed Jesse in season one or at the end of season one, what would that story have looked like? What are the beats that would have dramatically changed?
I don't think it would have been more on his own. That feels a bit too separate almost. Like Walt trying to do this whole thing on his own. Do you ever remember if you read like how he was made? Was it supposed to be Tuco or something? Because Tuco was the sort of villain at the end of season one. I don't know if it was like,
I think it was Tuco, yeah.
yeah, Tuco lost his mind or something and
Yeah.
just snapped and maybe killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so here we go. And last one is some more casting requests. Says Abed says, I liked a lot of the casting choices. How about Hank, Tuco, and Marie? Hank, again, you're talking Action Man type stuff. They'd probably go for Chris Pratt or Pedro Pascal because Chris Pratt gets given a lot of those because he's sort of taken that over from like Jason Statham. Like, anytime you'd see, I know Jason Statham still does things like that. Like, there was Beekeeper recently and a few other ones. Sorry, a few other ones. But Chris Pratt's almost kind of like stepped into. I know Dwayne Johnson does things like that a little bit. But it would have been so, like again, if you'd have done a reboot like let's say today, it maybe would have been one of them three. Can you think of any other like regular action men that you sort of see get cast in stuff regularly?
I'm trying to think.
Or maybe somebody like a Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
I mean, somebody like, I don't know, somebody like David Harbour would be an interesting choice for that
Ooh,
sort
that's
of
good.
role.
I like that. Yep.
Yeah,
Yeah,
you
'cause he
know,
did like that Christmas horror film, did Hellboy, obviously he's in Stranger Things. Yeah.
yeah. But you know, has a mix of sort of comedy and serious, and can flip backwards and forwards. I think that sort of thing might be interesting.
He's a good choice. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Maria, I'm not so sure about. I mean, somebody like Sarah Paulson, I guess. Or
Oh, that's a good choice. Yeah. She does those sorts of things well.
yeah. Is the sort of prim or proper, but yeah, trying to show prim or proper, but underneath quite messy.
Elizabeth Moss or Olsen?
Yeah, I think Elizabeth Moss comes across as a bit too together.
Yeah.
I think somebody like Sarah Paulson is, you know, has that sort of togetherness, but the messiness, yeah, there is potential for sort of messiness underneath as well. So I think, you know, Sarah Paulson would be somebody I go for that. What was the other character?
Tuco. So that's the thing, because he's only in like what,
Well,
a few episodes, really? So.
yeah, I mean, I don't know, Pedro Pascal. What up?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of somebody who would do like a smaller role, but somebody who needs like a lot of energy, that kind of thing. I just thought it wouldn't work at all, so ignore my suggestion that I'm about to actually make. That's almost like a Jack Black type of thing. Someone who sort of just can be all over the screen kind of thing. I wouldn't say you cast him as that, because I don't think he would actually like that wouldn't quite fit that role. But that sort of same energy. Like if you look at, School of Rock or I didn't see Minecraft, so I don't know what he's like in Minecraft. Yeah, those sorts of roles. I don't know. I can't really think of anybody for that necessarily. I could almost see, like, if you rebooted, because we don't know from the original suggestion if it's like, okay, reboot it, but you tweak a few things. So what you could do is, like, you maybe don't have Tuco, maybe you have somebody different, and then you would give Marie, like, more to do as a character. You still have the whole Hank, her being the loving, supporting wife and stuff, but you'd give her, like, more to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but no, some good suggestions there anyway. So, there ain't that many more characters to do fan castings for, but I do like doing that kind of thing. Especially, again, you know, these days with Marvel and DC stuff and X-Men and most of the DC casting, because, you know, 90% of the characters haven't been cast yet for the DCU. So, there we go. Anyway, that's what we've got for you for this week's episode. We'll be back next week with, I almost forgot what season. Season 4, Episode 5 is the next one. I can't really remember any of it, which is great. But we'll be back for that next time. In the meantime, if you'd like to listen to anything else that we do and support what we do, you can head over to entertainmenttalk.org and podcast platforms. Entertainment Talk for TV, games, films, and Man United podcasts. Again, kind of regular stuff. United Cast, Gaming Talk, Breaking Bad, Gen V, and then any other podcasts that come up as well. In the meantime, look out for those. If you want to support what we do, which would be great. If you didn't hear what you liked today, then also write in about that as well. But if you did hear what you liked, hopefully listen to more and you can write in and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platform is Entertainment Talk, TV, games, films, Man United podcast. You can support us by, of course, listening to more episodes. You can find them on the site or the podcast platform, so go and look for them over there. Word of mouth, social media, and if someone mentions a thing we've podcasted on, please tell them about the podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, that's for the ad-free podcast and review podcast options as well. TV and film news, Geektown Radio Tuesdays and geektown.co.uk. There's a new episode from a couple of days ago, because Tuesday was a couple of days ago, from Geektown Radio. David, that is yours. What's going on over there?
Well, Geektown Radio 475 has got Daryl from Hollywood North News on, who always brings some interesting, slightly different things on. So we've got a rare book review we've got a book review for a thing called The Dark Healer, which so he talks a little bit about that. And there's a sort of low budget sci-fi movie called The Tomorrow Job, which sounded quite good. He's got that on there. And we also did some game stuff as well. We talked a little bit about the Star Trek Voyager game, which is a sort of alt history version of Star Trek Voyager, which I thought was quite interesting. Plus things like Baywatch getting picked up for a reboot. We talked premiere dates coming up and all that sort of stuff, a bit about Marvel Zombies. So yeah, lots of stuff in that episode. And there's lots of news going up on the main website as well. There's lots of trailers and release dates. We've just had it confirmed today that there is more Peaky Blinders on the way as well, and all that sort of stuff. And Sky have picked up Tales of the Walking Dead for the Walking Dead fans that didn't see it when it was buried on AMC Global in the UK as well.
God, so when did that come out? Was that like 3 years ago or something?
It was probably even longer than that. But feels like yeah. So that actually got home on Sky later this month. So yeah, there's lots and lots of release and stuff, dates and things coming up on the main website at geektown.co.uk as well. So we're into that period where everything starts to come back, so go and check that out over there.
Nice. I almost forgot that they like made that show, because it sort of came out, no one really talked about it. I don't know if it even got renewed, and then a couple of years went past. So anyway,
I don't think it did. No. So it was sort of a one-off thing they did, I think.
Yeah, that's for that. Anyway, go to geektown.co.uk for the news posts and listen to Geektown Radio every Tuesday and get your latest TV and film news. You can also find us on YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays, for all of our video game bits and pieces, whether it's going to be streams, clips, or other stuff. So check that out over there as well. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.